Thank you for the opportunity of being with you this morning. I've been around Ottawa for 10 years and have attended a couple of these sessions, and I'm honored to be able to be a part of what's going on this morning in speaking to you. So thank you very much. And I know very little about PowerPoint, but Gord was kind enough to put a number of my points onto PowerPoint, and I'll try to make this little thing work in a way. This is the button here.
Right? Yeah.
Well, I won't press it yet because I'm not quite ready. I'm here to help an assessment of the many groups around Parliament Hill that try to bring a biblical perspective to bear on public policy issues, and I would make just one change. This is the way I gave it to Gord, but I would say to bring biblical perspectives to bear. And I know that very often people will say, well, there's, you know, your biblical perspective is different from my biblical perspective. It is because sometimes Scripture speaks to us in different ways. There may be, you know, when it comes to, for instance, social justice or concepts of reaching out in evangelism and so on, there may be different parts of Scripture which speak into different kinds of issues. I thought I'd take just a moment, if you don't mind, telling you a little bit about how I came to be in Ottawa and, in effect, how I came to be part of the scene. Most of Edna's and my married life has been spent in British Columbia. As Michelle indicated, I was the founding editor of BC Christian News. But before that, I was involved in community newspaper work, mostly in the Fraser Valley, as editor for a number of years of the Chilliwack Progress newspaper. But I had, back in the early 90s, had written a book called These Evangelical Churches of Ours. It was part of a group of books which were published by Wood Lake Books, one about the United Church, one about the Anglican, Presbyterian, and Lutheran. And they asked me at one point if I wanted to write the book about evangelicals, and so I was happy to be able to do that. And during the course of the promotion of that book, it happened that there was a conference occurred in Kingston at Queen's University. It was carried on by George Rollock, the late, great George Rollock, who was probably one of the best historians with respect to the whole evangelical Christian movement. And he held a conference where he brought together a lot of Christian historians, and there was a few of us who were journalists who felt that there would be a good story in that conference, and we managed to get there too, and I was one of them. Well, I was part of a group at that time that helped to put together the BC Leadership Prayer Breakfast. It was a little Bible study group that met once a week, and it was sort of affiliated with the Prayer Breakfast movement in Ottawa and in Washington. And so it meant that automatically, if I was willing to pay my own way, I could come to the Ottawa Prayer Breakfast, and especially to an event the night before that was for out-of-towners. And so I went to that night before event. This would be now about 1995, and sat next to a fellow named David Farrell. Some of you might remember David Farrell, a Chinese brother, Chinese, not Chinese, I'm sorry, a Catholic brother, and a lawyer with the Justice Department, I think. He just started talking to me a little bit about what kind of things I did in Vancouver, and I talked about BC Christian News, and he said, you know, we need a newspaper like that in Ottawa. I decided at that point, in conjunction with some of the people that I was working with in Vancouver, to do a little bit of due diligence and to move along quickly. the opportunity opened up for the development of a Christian newspaper in Ottawa at about the time of the Billy Graham mission in 1998. And so Billy Graham, who just turned 90 yesterday, had a little bit to do with, in an indirect way, in getting me here too. So we came in 1998, got started with a Billy Graham special issue, and then went on to develop what became Christian News Ottawa, and it turned into Christian Current Ottawa, and then after I retired, the Christian Week organization out of Winnipeg, which had a national newspaper already, turned it into Christian Week Ontario, and it actually is distributed in many parts of Ontario now, not just the Ottawa area. And so that was quickly what happened. Some of the things that have happened, and I should mention this at this point, this is the promotion, if you like. I've had the opportunity of writing more books since then. I wrote Like Father, Like Son, Ernest Manning and Preston Manning in 1997. And then out of that, the publisher said, is there a similar story going on with Stephen Harper? And I said, well, a similar story. It goes in a slightly different direction, but not too much. And so the idea was to talk about the faith-political interface in these men's lives. And so The Pilgrimage of Stephen Harper came out, and then after the 2006 election, the publisher asked me to write another chapter, and it was renamed Stephen Harper, The Case for Collaborative Governance, and the relevance of that had to do with how collaborative you have to be if you were going to successfully run a minority government. And David Kilgore, who's here this morning, wrote the foreword to that book. And then there was another book which I wrote called More Faithful Than We Think, Stories and Insights on Canadian Leaders Doing Politics Christianly. Now, the Stephen Harper book had probably a wider audience in many ways. The More Faithful Than We Think was designed specifically for people who were Christian, who wanted to know something about the ways in which these various groups that I will talk about this morning do their thing around the hill. And so there, if you buy one of the two books, it's $20, and if you buy both books, it's $30. And when I sign it, just an explanation, if you purchase a copy, and when I sign it, I will say, with respect to More Faithful Than We Think, I will sign it, He is faithful. Because whatever our faithfulness might be, God is faithful, and that's what makes it work. And the other one, Stephen Harper, The Case for Collaborative Governance, I will sign it to you as a fellow pilgrim, because the first book was called The Pilgrimage of Stephen Harper, and it covered both his spiritual and his political pilgrimage. Let's see if I can make... Oh, I'm pointing it wrong.
There we go. Now, hit it again.
Okay, very good. Ah, it works. Yeah, I understand that each time I punch it, something else will come up. I've put together several categories, and this first one is called Community and World Service. And I will name a number of organizations that may not have a great deal of direct influence on public policy, but because of the work that they do have some things to say, and they say it in different ways. And I've called them Community and World Service. Christian Business Ministries Canada, it used to be called the Christian Businessmen's Committee. They have some influence around the kind of direction they try to give to business people, people who are building building the economy in the situation where they are. And they have it's not called Faith at Work Forum, they have a Business at Work Forum, which they tie in with a number of other organizations. Habitat for Humanity. Now, one of the things that they pointed out to me is that they don't really try to influence public policy except on a municipal level when they're trying to get zoning and property to build their houses in there, and when the Habitat for Humanity houses build. But that's not the total picture, because they have a patronage system, not the bad kind of patronage, but the good kind. They get prominent people to become their patrons, and they accompany them on builds in the United States and internationally. For many years, it's been Jimmy Carter, the former president of the United States. In Canada, for many years, it was Ed Schreier, the former Manitoba Premier and Governor General. And more recently, as Ed Schreier ages, they've replaced the new patron is Governor General Michel Jean. And so they attempt, in a nonpartisan way, shall we say, to keep the federal structures aware of what Habitat for Humanity is doing, particularly in Canada. The Mennonite Central Committee. It again has projects going on all over the world, and it develops from an important perspective, in that it brings a peace and non-violence approach. Now, some people, I happen to be married to a Mennonite, some people joke with me that I shouldn't really defend Mennonites so much as being peaceful, peace-loving people, because they've played hockey against Mennonite hockey players, and they can be as aggressive and rough as anybody else. But they bring an important perspective to bear. One Way Ministries. This is a group that some of you may have heard of, and it has a number of spin-offs. It operates out of Ottawa, and they do some important things in trying to influence and help people in a pastoral and relationship sense. The Salvation Army. Now, I got a little bit of flack one day because when I was one of the people who was involved in the Salvation Army for some years was Danielle Shaw. Some of you may have met her along the way. But she was the legal counsel for a number of years for the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, and then she went over to do the same work, similar work, for the Salvation Army. And then, after the present government was elected, she moved about 200 yards north from the Spark Street Mall into the Langevin Block to work in the Prime Minister's office. And she brought some of her advocacy experience, and that was what was used there. And so there was a story that where I was actually quoted in the Globe and Mail, written by Brian Loggie, as I recall. And one of the things that I had said was that the Prime Minister's office was giving a fair amount of promotion and that to the Salvation Army in their Christmas toy drive. I think they tied it into some new regulations that they were putting about the use of plastics and toys and that sort of thing. But it gave a really good plug to the Salvation Army from the Prime Minister's office. And I told the reporter that had Danny Shaw's hands all over it. And I got a bit of flack because they said, you know, we're trying to make sure that we aren't open to the charge all the time that we're letting the religious groups push us around. And I said, not to worry about the Salvation Army, because everybody accepts and has a healthy regard for everything the Salvation Army does, because they're there where the rubber meets the road. They walk the talk. And afterwards, Danny moved over and was working for Tony Clement in health as one of his chief policy advisors. I'm not sure just where she's gone with the latest cabinet shuffle. But Danny is a good person to keep in touch with. World Vision Canada. one of the, when the Manley report came out, and I think the Manley report was one of the best examples of the kinds of things that I think collaborative governance means in the present context. When the Manley report on Afghanistan came out, the day that it came out, there was a press conference in the hotel with the circular, the Radisson. And several groups were there to provide responses to the media, and one of them was World Vision Canada. And David Toyson wanted to be able to get across the point that whatever Manley's recommendations were and whatever the Canadian government decided that they should be doing in Afghanistan, that they shouldn't be so concentrating on the military side of it that they forget the development side. But they also wanted to make another point. They wanted to say that the military shouldn't get too involved in development and diplomacy, that development particularly should be left to CETA and the non-government organizations, both faith-based and other, that are working in Afghanistan. So they were there in order to present their viewpoints, viewpoints which for all practical purposes were based in a biblical perspective on world development. Educational. This is the second category. And come on, James. There we are, Augustine College. We don't hear, probably, some of you may be involved in Augustine College. It's still going and still active. Some of the people who have been here, people like Edmund Blato, who have been here at other past year's forums, or have been very much involved in Augustine College, mostly tenured professors at University of Ottawa who wanted to bring a first-year college classics approach to the interfacing of faith and education. And John Patrick right now, who speaks out very often with the Christian Medical Dental Society and who also speaks on pro-life and pro-family issues, is the president of the college presently. Canadian Institute for Conflict Resolution at St. Paul University, and this also ties in with the Conflict Studies Program. This is my little Mennonite bias slipping in a little. The person who runs that program, interestingly enough, is Vern Neufeld Redekop, a Mennonite, a double-barreled Mennonite by the name, and he wrote a book called Violence to Blessing that outlines the emphasis that they try to give in the doctoral studies, in the master's and doctoral study programs in conflict resolution. And it's based on the Anabaptist or Mennonite model. And the person who actually heads the Canadian Institute for Conflict Resolution, which is also at St. Paul University and operates as a spin-off but provides short-term seminars and so on, is a fellow named Brian Strong. Now, politically, he's got some interesting history because his father, Harry Strong, was the last social credit premier of the province of Alberta. He succeeded Ernest Manning as the premier. And now Brian, his son, is bringing conflict resolution stuff to bear. And one of the ways in which this works is that there is probably some of you know more about it than I do, but I've been observing it from a certain distance and recognize when it's happening. And that is bringing alternate dispute, dispute resolution concepts to bear, and other conflict resolution ideas to bear in the public service, and using methods, and in places like even national defense, on a to help to resolve some of the things which might get a little political or a little disruptive. And some of these concepts are based very much on biblical models, some of these alternate dispute resolution concepts. InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and I could add several other organizations there that have an influence in the universities, particularly in the Ottawa universities, and Campus Crusade, or Power to Change, they call it now, has an influence there, and is it Christian Catholics?
Catholic Christian Outreach.
Catholic Christian Outreach, and so on. Laurentian Leadership Center at Trinity Western University. And coming from the West, of course, I have a bit of a bias for some of the good things that Laurentian Leadership Center is doing, where they bring in third-year students from various disciplines and help them have internships which link them into the body politic. Redeemer University College. Now, it's located not in Ottawa, but down in Lancaster. But they do find ways of relating to what's going on in Ottawa in the political science department. Tyndale University College and Seminary, who actually have courses in Ottawa. Most of them, when they have courses, especially in their seminary program, they hold them in Old St. Andrew's Church, right across the street from the Supreme Court. So they've got a physical presence there. Financial services. There's a couple of organizations that are worth mentioning. Canadian National Christian Foundation, which was developed by Lauren Jackson after he retired from the operation of Balanced Financial. And they have a division. They're attempting to develop a foundational base, and they're somewhat less active now than they were a year or two ago, as is the other organization that I will mention, because of the financial turbulence which is going on at the moment. They don't have the growth funds to be able to make contributions from it. But the concept is to provide a good foundation, shall we say, for being able to provide directed grants towards nonprofit organizations, among them being organizations, Christian organizations that are working with the body politic. Bridgeway Foundation, which comes out of Cambridge, operated by Reg and Mark Peterson, used to be called the Peterson Foundation, is another group that takes a keen interest in what goes on around here. They've been one of the funders, for instance, of the Institute for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, and so they're present around the edge. Media. Now, in mentioning media, I'll mention CanadianChristianity.com, Christian Info Society. That's a little plug for us. That CanadianChristianity.com is the website that's been developed by BC Christian News, but it has a national, of course, being a website, it has national exposure. And that's where my Ottawa Watch weekly analysis appears. It's on CanadianChristianity.com. Christian Week, Fellowship for Print Witness, and they of course do Christian Week newspaper, which is national, and then Christian Week Ontario and Christian Week Manitoba, which are local, originally distributed newspapers. John Council on CFRA Radio, a Pentecostal minister who now spends much more of his time in the type of radio that he is doing, congenially combative, and he has a very wide audience. Ottawa Watch, which is the thing I do each week. The Word Guild, I wanted to mention them because they don't have an Ottawa presence, although they do have a number of members around Ottawa. It's basically a a Christian Writers Union, if you like. One of the things that they're trying to do is to make sure that they get paid, that Christian writers get paid a little better than they have been able to be paid in the past, and that gets to be a bit of a struggle when you have bookstores going out of business and all sorts of things like that. But the Word Guild has a prayer team, and I just mentioned on their website, on their listserv the other day, that I would be speaking to this group this morning, and their prayer team immediately went to work and said that they would be praying for us this morning as we consider what we're saying. So they're lurking in the background there. CHRIFM, and that actually, CHRIFM was started a year before Christian News Ottawa was, and we actually had our office for the first couple or 3 months of operation. We had our office in the CHRI office suite on 1010, what do they call it?
Thomas Spratt Place.
Thomas Spratt Place. Okay, before I put the next one on, I should tell you the ones I left out because I didn't think of them until later. Canadian Catholic News, Deborah Japon, and I mention her because she is not a Catholic, she's a sort of a Baptist Anglo-Catholic, but she writes for Canadian Catholic News, and she also writes for a number of Christian, evangelical Christian publications from time to time, including CanadianChristianity.com. And excellent writer. She's one of a number of bloggers that have been really pointing out this business of human rights commissions being inveigled to try to control what Christians and other dissenters have to say, like Ezra Levant and Mark Stein and people like that. And they've been really advocating for these people that we don't get a situation in Canada where the human rights commissions are so controlling of what goes on that nobody can say anything. I've done some reporting on that subject, but I've tended to back off from it a little bit because of some of my feelings on conflict resolution and conflict studies. I like to inject myself into that particular argument when it comes to trying to find ways of saying things that are more conciliatory than combative. Try to say the same thing, only try not to say it in a way that you get a vitriolic response coming back, and then you can throw up your hand and say, well, praise the Lord, I'm being persecuted because, you know, I said something and they said something and because I said something and they said something, then we've got a fight on our hands. These are what I call pastoral. Some of them might be viewed as evangelistic, but I describe them as pastoral because in most cases what we have is a situation where organizations exist in the workplace in order to provide pastoral services to people who might not otherwise be able to get it from their local church. This could be the case with politicians who spend half their week here and half their week in their home riding, and they really don't know where their church home is anymore because their lives are sort of split up. But we have a Christian Embassy or Power to Change, I'll come back to that in just a minute. Military Christian Fellowship, which works, of course, with the military. Mission Ottawa Outaouais, which is a spin-off of One Way Ministries, but it works mainly with pastors, but pastors recognizing that they are pastoring, very often they're pastoring public servants, or they are pastoring, in some cases, politicians, and so they try to bring some influence to bear there. National Prayer Breakfast. Now the National Prayer Breakfast has always been, you might say, has been sort of quite secretive, partly because they want to prevent politicians from being hounded by journalists about their own faith perspective. They want to give some privacy to them if they want it. But the interesting thing is a thing about the way Christian Embassy works and the way the National Prayer Breakfast works. National Prayer Breakfast works across political boundaries, so that when the weekly parliamentary prayer breakfast takes place, the politicians who are in the room are in all parties. And whereas Christian Embassy tends to organize Bible study groups that go according to particular political parties, I think possibly because here again they may feel that a politician who's just with his or her own party is going to be a little more open and a little less diplomatic, and thus maybe a little more honest. I don't know if that's, you know, that's the argument. I don't know that I necessarily buy it, but I pass it on anyway. So you have two different approaches there. And also Christian Embassy is quite involved in diplomatic ties. But the Parliamentary Prayer Breakfast's main project is the National Prayer Breakfast, and it ties in with prayer breakfasts in, probably David, you'd know better than me, about 170 countries, something like that. Public Service Christian Fellowship, that's you, some of you guys. And of course I realize that there's probably about three or four other different organizations that get involved in this that do relate to public service. Prayer. There's two organizations that particularly focus on prayer. And one is the National House of Prayer. I've listed them both here. I'll put them both up. Nation of Prayer, which is operated by Sue Finley, out of Toronto, actually. But I mention them because they have tended to say the National House of Prayer is doing a job in Ottawa, so we'll concentrate on setting up similar activities for prayer in the provinces, and in some cases in the cities, in the large cities in Canada. And so there are those two organizations that are separately organized, but they maintain a relationship with each other. They're being collaborative. Prophetic. There's two organizations which I mentioned here, and I find them intriguing because I have to say that I tend to be cerebral in my approach to faith, and other people are much more emotive. And there's a place for both, and I want to make sure I'm diplomatic and that I don't say anything out of line here, you know, one of the things that in my book More Faithful Than We Think, I talk about the three kinds of prophetic. There are the prophetic things that come out of what we would say contemporarily relate to left behind movies and videos. The dispensational concept that says that the Bible is saying that the time will come when Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom. And then there are the social justice types of prophetic. You will have heard people who say that justice pours down like the water from the mountains and other biblical allusions like that, who say that it is prophetic to find social justice for people. And that is their faith perspective. That's how they relate their faith to what happens in politics. It might be described as sort of left-wing prophetic, if you like. Although I want to be careful that I'm not saying that as a pejorative. I'm just saying this is how I observe it. But then there are some, the people who will come to visit Parliament Hill and who will gather on the steps below the Peace Tower and who will look up and the leader of the group says, see where it says, and he shall have dominion from sea to sea. They will say, that is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy for Canada. That God put that in the Bible for Canada, and it wasn't to apply to any other nation, but to apply to Canada. Now there is that approach to it, and then also there is probably what I would say is the more wider approach says his dominion, his kingdom is in hearts alone. As we give our lives to Jesus Christ and allow him to reign and rule in our lives, then it'll have political implications as well. So that you find there's For My Canada, led by Fatine Criscoe, and Watchmen for the Nations, led by David Damian. They take this prophetic approach. It's the third kind of prophetic that I say that, and very often it's tied in with biblical interpretation together with visions or dreams which have been seen, and so they have an impact and a place to play in the things that we're talking about. Public policy. We've come to public policy at last. I said at the very beginning that the people who were the community and world service kinds of organizations have something to say about public policy. But there are some organizations that are direct. They see their task or their mandate to be to appear before parliamentary committees with briefs on certain public policy issues, or to meet with CETA, or to meet with other government agencies, and some of you may have contact with them regularly, and they have their public policies in which they, or their biblical perspectives which they bring to public policy debate. Campaign Life Canada and other pro-life organizations. Defend Marriage Canada. Now these are groups that come up for a certain time, and then they may exist and they may still stay around for a while, but they don't do very much when there isn't a major issue to press on. Enshrine Marriage Canada, two different organizations that had similar kinds of objectives. Equipping Christians for the Public Square, ECP, led until very recently by Tristan Emmanuel, and I won't get into that any more than to say, but that something is changing there because Tristan Emmanuel is no longer the president. But I don't expect that God's finished with Tristan Emmanuel yet. We'll see how it comes up. The Evangelical Fellowship of Canada is probably, it is almost an umbrella type of organization. A lot of these organizations that have an evangelical basis or a charismatic basis or a reformed theology basis tend to tie in with the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada as affiliates. Institute for Canadian Values. That is an organization that tends to tie in with Canada Christian College and the Canada Family Action Coalition, and the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, which is sponsored by Focus on the Family. And one of the things, Charles McVitie of Canada Christian College and the Institute for Canadian Values appeared before a Senate committee to talk about the Bill C-10 that had to do with the awarding of tax credits to pornographic video material and that type of thing. And there's a blogger who sits very just down the room from me in the press gallery. Her name is Katie O'Malley, and she writes for Macleans.ca. She does live blogging. It's fascinating to read her material because she's doing with her BlackBerry. She's got tiny little fingers. She's about half the size of this guy, and she's got tiny little fingers, and has a great way of being able to live blog on her BlackBerry what's going on in a committee meeting. And in this case, she talked about Charles McVitie of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, or Focus on the Family, or something like that. And so I sent her an email and said, you know, don't get the two organizations mixed up. What you're talking about is Canada Family Action Coalition, Charles McVitie. That doesn't have anything to do really with Focus on the Family. They're in different places in the political and evangelical spectrum, they're all within the umbrella of evangelical Christianity, but they take different emphases, and don't get them mixed up just because you're not close enough to it to know. And she said, "Oh, yikes." That's what she wrote back to me. That's what she said. Yikes. And then she corrected it. But the way she corrected it, she drew a line through Focus on the Family, and then put after it Child and Family Action Coalition. So that she wanted it to still be known that, you know, I'm correcting it, but I still want to leave the old name in. I'll just cross it out. So technology is wonderful. Oops, I missed one there. Church Council on Justice and Corrections. That was the last one there that I wanted to mention. Here again, it tends to be on the left side of the spectrum, but they have some interesting interaction with something like, say, Prison Fellowship, which was started by Charles Colson. And they have some things in common when they're talking about justice issues and corrections issues, and that's where they speak them. Think tanks. Let's see. Hey, there's Canadian Commitment Research Institute. Did you know you guys are a think tank? that's the category I put you in anyway. Providing a lot of these organizations on the lane provide an awful lot of research, and the Center for Cultural Renewal, operated by Ian Benson, who sometimes he's living in France, sometimes he's living in BC, and sometimes he's living in South Africa, but the office for Center for Cultural Renewal is on Albert Street, in the same building where the Evangelical Fellowship and the Institute for Marriage and Family is. Only it's right down in the basement, just have a little tiny office there. I know, I drop off copies of Christian Week Ontario each month to their office. CARDIS, formerly Work Research Foundation. This tends to be a Calvinistic-oriented kind of think tank, and brings out some very interesting perspectives based on some of the Calvinistic concepts like the sovereignty of God, TULIP, total depravity, unmerited favor, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and permanent preservation, yeah. And these are all aspects which people in other parts of the Christian spectrum would tend to offer a different view of God and of his actions with people than that. But there's a certain correlation. And now I tend to say, on a personal level, Edna and I call ourselves Baptisterians. When we lived out west, we were members of First Baptist Church in Vancouver and Olivet Baptist Church in New Westminster, historic old Baptist churches in the evangelical tradition. When we came to Ottawa, we found more comfort in Presbyterian type churches, and we are presently at St. Andrews. But I'm coming close to the time when we can start to get to questions and answers. I just wanted to tell this little tale. Reformation Sunday. A bunch of the Presbyterian churches and a bunch of the Christian Reformed churches always get together for Reformation Sunday. And this past year they held a big, 500 or 600 people at St. Paul's Presbyterian on Woodruff. And they had a male voice choir, many of which happened to be Catholics, which is, you know, they were cautioned, you know, this is Reformation Sunday, this is all about Martin Luther and John Calvin and Zwingli and all these guys and what they did to the Catholics 500 years ago. No, that was okay. These Catholics were big. They loved singing, and they loved being there. And So Hans Kallenberg, who at the time was the moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Canada, was the preacher. Great preaching, great prayers. I'll tell you, those Reformed and Presbyterian ministers can sure preach a great prayer. It's just wonderful. And when we sang, "The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. He is a new creation by water and word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own life he bought her, and for with his own blood he bought her, and for his life, for her life he died." I just felt like, Edna and I felt like heaven came down into little St. Paul's Presbyterian Church. And yet, I very quickly said to myself, that particular Sunday, as is every other Sunday, heaven comes down in many, many different ways across Canada's capital, in various kinds of churches, from Pentecostal to Associated Gospel, to Mennonite, to Salvation Army, to Catholic, to, you know, heaven comes down. And to me, that was really something. Okay. I want to take a minute or two to, how do we turn it back again? Yeah. I wanted to mention navigating a faith-political interface. I think that's pretty significant. And of course, I'm biased toward Preston Manning because I wrote a book about him. I think that they're doing some absolutely invaluable stuff in helping people to navigate the faith-political interface, to know how to bring your faith to a political perspective in a way that both honors your faith and does justice to the political process in which you are working. And so that's sort of a think tank too. Now I'm going to mention some other influences that aren't right in where we're talking about today, but Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops, Canadian Council of Churches, Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, or the Mormons. They're getting a lot of flack now from gay rights activists down in the States because they spent so much money to oppose gay marriage in California. Community of Christ, formerly reorganized Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints. That's another thing. Initiatives of Change, formerly Moral Rearmament. Metropolitan Community Churches, which are the gay churches, of course. These are others, the way I put it, in addition to the bodies that we were talking about, whose objectives might not fit completely within those of evangelical or orthodox or charismatic or reformed interests, but would bring some perspectives to bear that would be of interest. There's some commonality, these bodies can be viewed as competitors, perhaps, or people who have different interests, but there is some commonality of interest in each one of them. And as well, Canadian Conference of the denominations represented by several hundred Protestant and Catholic churches in the Ottawa area, working in English, French, and about 30 other languages. The interfaith organizations and other faith groups, such as the Aga Khan Foundation, which has about $30 million of federal money, I understand, to promote interfaith conciliation, and the Parliamentary Interfaith Friendship Committee. Interestingly, co-chaired by David Sweet, who used to be president of Promise Keepers before he went into politics, and Rabbi Reuben Bulka, and instigated by this fellow here some years ago, David Kilgore. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, Reuben Bulka was a
big question. He was. He just helped him out a little bit. But it's fascinating to see David Sweet and Reuben Balka working together on this particular thing. It has some bearing, and I'll refer to this just about ready for Q&A, but a story that I wrote for Christian Week a little while ago, close to 70 people, a majority of them staffers of Christian Relief and Development Agencies, wrestled for 2 days recently in Ottawa with the issues surrounding the role of faith-based influence and what they do worldwide. The May 6th and 7th meeting brought the Christian groups into close dialogue with their counterparts in other world faiths, as well as with people whose job it is to interface with faith groups and government and secular agencies. These were people who may be competitors or even enemies, but they were also talking at this point about trying to understand how each other does their work. There's things like microcredit stuff that's being done by Christian agencies and also by Muslim agencies. They have to get their act together sometimes in order to be able to do their work properly for their particular constituencies. And that was the purpose of this particular event. I could maybe refer to some other stuff in the story later, but this would bring us to the point where I'm happy to hear what your questions are, or your comments, or your feedback, and see if I have any adequate response.